We're looking at another aspect of it, another reason why this church stands against it. And I've mentioned this some, but we're going to focus on it here a little more. And that's the idea that CCM, or contemporary Christian music, is at the heart of the charismatic movement. It's 100% at the heart of the charismatic movement. And the last thought we'll look at, not today, but the next time we get at this, is going to be that it weakens the fundamentalist stance of a church. CCM weakens that stance. And why? Because it's so infiltrated with compromises. We read last week, I read you those articles about the, you know, so-called Christian rock star coming out as gay and being okay with that. And, I mean, there's just a plethora of that. It's saturated within the contemporary Christian music world. Why? Because it's another reason we're against it, because it's worldly. It's just, it's all of its influence comes from the world. It's not getting any of its truth from the Bible. It's getting its philosophies from the world. So, and the world says, well, you know, it's okay to be gay. So obviously that's going to infect them, and they're going to bring that with them and call it Christianity. But if you would open your Bibles with me, please, to 2 Peter chapter number 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. It's going to be, if you find Revelation, just go back a little bit towards the beginning. It should be just a few pages probably before the book of Revelation. You'll have 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. When you get there, say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. No, you got to say it like that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, there we go. We're there. You guys are awake. Amen. All right. We're given this warning here, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. But it says there were false prophets also among the people, just like there's going to be false teachers among you. And that's what we're looking at here. I said CCM is at the heart of the charismatic movement. It's false teaching. False teachers. The Bible warned us there'd be false teachers among us. He's talking to Christians. Even as there shall be false teachers among you. And that doesn't mean that this congregation here is going to be immune from that, from a false teacher coming in here. And hopefully the stand we take in the doctrine, our doctrinal stance, will push them out. But it doesn't mean that one won't tolerate a lot and put up with stuff so they can get into a position of influence and try and, as the Bible says, bring in damnable heresies, denying even the Lord that bought them, and bring upon them swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. And they're going to draw many away. That's what we're told. It's going to happen. That's what he said is going to happen. So that could happen here. I pray it doesn't. I hope it doesn't. I don't want that to happen here, but it doesn't mean it couldn't happen here. It absolutely could happen here. But we're warned there's going to be false teachers. Charisma Magazine, February 1994, made this observation. Today, praise music has entered the mainstream. Songs that were only sung in charismatic churches a few years ago are now heard throughout mainline and non-charismatic churches. That was in 1994. And they said then that now, these songs that were just at one time heard in charismatic churches are now heard throughout mainline and non-charismatic churches. Just talking about the mainline would be like the, you know, the Presbyterian, the Catholic, the Lutheran or whatever. I mean, the mainline denominations. Okay, that kind of came out of the Protestant Reformation. It's being listened to in those churches, non-charismatic churches. Why? Because its influence is broad. And that was 1994. What are we coming up on now? That's over 20 years ago. Over 20 years ago. That was said. And how much more so today? The walls of doctrinal division we're talking about in Nehemiah. That's how this whole study started, building the walls. And you say, God, you keep talking about these walls. Preacher, how come you keep bringing up these walls? Because they're important. They need to be there. They need to be there. And what we have Christendom today doing is wanting to tear down these walls, to remove them. Let's remove the doctrinal distinction. Don't fight over those little things. Just get rid of that stuff so we can all be one. But they don't have any doctrinal understanding of what the Bible says. I'll be in unity with anybody that wants to be in unity with the Bible. Why do I need to compromise my convictions to just to be friends with them? See, none of us need to do that. But that's what they expect of us, and that's what's happening left and right. That's what's being taught out there. Is that's what we need to do. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you just asking you to give wisdom, discernment. Please help us now. Fill each of us with your Spirit, Lord. Thank you that we're able to be here. And Lord, I pray you'd use me and help me to say what you'd have me to say and withhold from my mouth things I shouldn't say. Please, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. CCM's at the heart of the charismatic movement. They have to feel the Spirit moving in the service. And what better way to give people a feeling than through the music? I mean, how many of us haven't felt moved by music? I mean, I have in preaching services. It was godly music. But I mean, I've heard a song and I said, man, I want to get up and preach right now. Too bad I wasn't the one getting up to preach, but I wanted to. But I felt like that before. But I've talked with people that said, no, first time I went into a charismatic church, you know, just the feeling I had in there, I got, you know, the hair stood up on my arms when I walked in, and I thought, man, something's happening here. Why? Because of the atmosphere, that they were building it up through the music. They have to feel the Spirit moving. You know, a lot of Christianity today won't. They might sit through one sermon, one doctrinal sermon. If you guys remember last Sunday morning, I preached a doctrinal sermon. Okay, that was a doctrinal sermon that I preached, looking at baptism last Sunday morning. And those aren't always the most exciting sermons, but I'm telling you, a sermon like that is going to drive someone away. They might sit through that one sermon, but they say, I'm not going back there. Why? Because they don't have any hunger or thirst for the meat of the Word of God. Entertain me. Feed my flesh. That's what they want. And they won't stick around for doctrinal preaching. They just won't. They'll be gone. So they want to feel the Spirit moving in the service. And by the way, the Spirit moves through His Word. That's where you're going to feel the Spirit move. When your life starts changing because of the preaching of the Word of God, that's the Spirit at work in your life. It's not some ooey-gooey feeling you get when you're at church and then you leave and you got to get all ramped up and amped up just to come back, and you can't get that feeling when you're alone by yourself studying your Bible because you got to have all this music going to get you in that mood. I mean, I want God to speak to me when I'm just sitting at my desk studying and reading the Word of God. I want God to move in me. That's the Spirit at work. When He's changing my life, when He's convicting me of sin and I'm getting things right, that's how we want the Spirit moving and at work in our lives. When we're yielding to Him, when things we were maybe fighting Him about, now we've given in to Him and we've submitted, and now we're following the Lord and doing more things for Him, things we thought we'd never do. That's how you know when your life is Spirit-filled, when you've yielded yourself to the Word of God. And that's what we want. The charismatics themselves admit that the world's music was necessary for the Pentecostal charismatic movement to last. Howard Goss said, shortly after it began to emerge in 1901, Pentecostalism sensed through some strange form of intuition that success would come through emotionally charged music. That's how it was going to come. Through emotionally charged music. Let's get them, you know, emotional about it. That's how we're going to find success. And by the way, what kind of success? Success defined by who? Who's defining the success? Is God the one defining the success, or are they measuring success as a worldly standard? Which, by the way, that's what most churches today do. They measure it by a worldly standard. You need to have this many people in your church. You need to constantly be growing numerically. If you're not, then something's wrong with you. Well, whose success is that? Is that, you know, a business marketing model? Or do we believe that God's the one that adds to the church daily such as should be saved? I mean, when He wants to add somebody, He does it. It's not up to us. I can't add one person to this church. God adds people to this church. So success defined by who? And let me just say, that whole success-driven model of church growth is not just for the charismatics. There's a lot of Baptists like that as well. And I know some of them. That's far and wide. But success defined by who? Anyway, he said the success would come through emotionally charged music. The first pattern was jazz. Speaking of the years 1901 to 1914, Howard Goss said, without it, just talking about jazz music, the Pentecostal movement could never have made the rapid inroads into the hearts of men and women as it did. Without that music, jazz music, neither could we have experienced a constant, victorious revival over the 50 years. Without the music. I don't see one biblical revival where they had to have the music is what brought the revival. I don't see it. The Spirit of God moving brought revival. God's people, you know, you look at, I think it's King Josiah, when he read the law, that brought revival. He realized, man, we've been doing things wrong. And he repented and he got things right. And they destroyed a lot of things, a lot of the groves, the idol worship. They got rid of it. That's revival taking place. Okay, Brother Josh mentioning a few weeks ago on Wednesdays that he'd been doing some things wrong and God opened his eyes to that and he wasn't going to be doing that anymore. And he mentioned that in front of all of us. Well, that's revival right there. Right there. We were witnesses to revival happening in somebody's life. That's revival. That's it. When somebody decides to get right with God. The real rock and roll musicians themselves recognize the worldly music in churches. Ronnie Dawson, one of the 1950s rockabilly stars. Who knows what rockabilly is? Anybody? Rockabilly? Okay, that was kind of like the 1950s. That was kind of what Elvis Presley came from. He came out of. You know, it was kind of the country to rock. They're kind of transitioning in there and they're taking it, you know, and they were kind of all singing kind of gospel music and kind of went over this way. And who's that other guy's name? What's the man in black? What's his name? Who's that guy's name? Somebody help me out. Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash would be, he started off rockabilly. Okay, that's how he came out. Okay. But Ronnie Dawson, one of the 1950s rockabilly stars, started playing electric guitar at an Assemblies of God church. Of rockabilly, he says, this is what he says. It's very similar to the Assembly of God kind of church music and things that I had taken part in church. He's a rock musician, and he recognizes that. He says, man, this is like the same thing I was playing in church. And this is what they said was needed. Without this, it would have never made the rapid inroads into the hearts of men and women as it did. Why do you think there's so much false doctrine within Christendom that goes across so many expanses? I mean, I mentioned to you last week this, what's that thing called, 2016? I forget the name of it with the Pope, though. He's going to be there part of it. Let me see if I got it in my notes here. It's in one of these articles I had for you guys. I'm sorry. Together 2016. That's it. As remember, I mentioned this last week. The Southern Baptist Convention President Ronnie Floyd, Lecrae, Hillsong, unite with the Pope at Monumental Together 2016 gathering. He's going to be there via, you know, video. And he's got a message for all of them. And this is so-called Christian music here. It's going to include Hillsong United, Christine Kane, Kari Job, Kirk Franklin, the rapper who happens to be Christian Lecrae, Ronnie Floyd, Southern Baptist Convention President, Josh McDowell, Tadashi Tripp Lee, God's Lover, Ann Voskamp, Matthew West, Roman Catholic musician Matt Marr. I mean, there's another article I had listed more of the people that are going to be a part of that, but this is how it's able to make these inroads, because the music is connecting all of them, and it's doctrinally weak. And they're folding. They're saying, what's wrong with Catholicism? Well, it's because they're not cutting our heads off anymore. They're not drowning us or burning us alive. So everyone's, oh, the Roman Catholic Church is okay, and we're just, they call us now after Vatican II. You're just separated, brethren. See, before Vatican II in the 1960s, you know what they used to call Protestants? They had a nice name for them. They called them heretics. That's what they called him, a heretic. Okay, but 1960s, Vatican II Council, okay, when they changed the Mass from just Latin, they changed it to, You know, the common languages, they took it out of just Latin, made some other changes, but they decided instead of calling them heretics, let's just call them separated brethren. And that's still what they call us. They think we're separated from them, or the Protestants are at least separated from the Roman Catholic Church, and you guys need to come back to the fold, and this charismatic music is being used. The CCM, contemporary Christian music, the charismatic movement is being used to draw all these groups back together. And it's working. I mean, you've got, what's that guy's name? Rick Warren, promoting Chrislam. Anybody heard of that? Christianity and Islam? Yeah. Chrislam. Hey, let's just bring them all together. I mean, Billy Graham was popular with all this in the 1950s. He started having Roman Catholics and everybody else at his evangelistic crusades. And they'd come down and he'd send them right back to the Catholic Church. He said, we're not trying to get them out of there. Why not, Billy? They preach a false gospel. They preach another gospel that God cursed. But he said, we're just going to send them back. And what's used, what's the main thrust? It's going to be this music is used to draw people. The large majority of the Christian rock musicians are associated with the Pentecostal charismatic movement, and practically none of them are separated from it. I don't know of one that's separated from it. One contemporary Christian music group that's separated from the charismatic movement. None of them are. Not one. Here's just a few of the Pentecostal charismatic personalities behind the jazzed up hymns which are being used in non-charismatic churches. Okay, we say jazzed up hymns, what are they doing? These bridge songs that I've mentioned to you. And when I say non-charismatic churches, what do I mean? I mean independent Baptist churches like ours. These songs are being used in churches like ours. Okay? Jack Hayford, author of the song Majesty. Anybody ever heard of that song? Majesty? I had to look it up. I've heard it before. I've heard it sung in independent Baptist churches. Okay, the song Majesty. Okay, Jack Hayford. A very popular worship song. He's pastor of Church on the Way, Foursquare Church. It's a Pentecostal denomination. It was founded by Amy Semple McPherson, Paul and Jan Crouch. Anybody know who they are? Paul and Jan Crouch, Trinity Broadcasting Network. Okay, they're the ones heading it up now, TBN. Okay, that's all right. It's almost a good thing you don't know any of this. Trinity Broadcasting Network, an entertainer, Pat Boone. Anybody ever heard of him? Pat Boone? Okay. They're members of Hayford's congregation. Hayford's very popular song, Majesty, teaches Pentecostal doctrinal error when it speaks of kingdom authority. In Pentecostal charismatic context, kingdom authority refers to the false doctrine that Christians today have the authority promised for the future kingdom that will be established at Christ's return. Hayford's kingdom authority refers to authority to cast out sickness, authority to bind the demonic rulers of this world system, and the authority to be prosperous. Like, if they have the authority to do that, then what in the world's going on in this world? I mean, if they've got kingdom authority for that stuff, then what is happening in this world? Why don't they put some of that authority they've got to use? Because this world just keeps getting worse and worse. I mean, why aren't hospitals cleared out? All these fake healers. Why don't they go into hospitals and clear out hospitals if they can heal people? Because it's fake. If we think that this music, this theology isn't spreading far and wide, we're grossly mistaken. As I said earlier, this song's been sung in influential independent Baptist churches. I mean, I know of churches here that have done it and more influential independent Baptist churches and others. I mean, there's other churches that have done it. It's infiltrated. It's like a Trojan horse. You know the Trojan horse? Everybody know that story? Okay, they use the Trojan horse to sneak in. You know, the enemies, I forget who was fighting who, but basically the idea is they got inside this huge horse. The army hid inside of there. They pushed it in. They brought it in the city gates, and then they closed the gates, and then they were able to come out and win the battle. They snuck it in. And this music here is a Trojan horse, and it's bringing our churches down. Churches that believe like this one are going down. Because of this, you think, what? That's ridiculous, preacher. Because I'll tell you what, because I'll talk to some of these guys that are doing this, some of the pastors that are allowing this music in, and they'll be sound just like I am in a lot of areas. And they'll have the same stands that I will in a lot of areas. You say, so what's the problem? 10 years? As it keeps influencing them and they just keep taking one more step closer to the world, another step closer to the world, and another. Because that's how sin works. It deceives us. We think, it's not affecting me. And I'm doing all right, but we just keep getting closer and closer to it. And the more we hang out here, we think, well, this isn't so bad. Let me just move over here. And we're like, I don't know. And then we just stay there a little bit longer and we're like, this isn't so bad. What was I so worried about? And now we just move over a little bit and the process just keeps happening. And there's been too many examples of churches that used to believe like ours. I'm talking churches that ran, there's one church, Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, pastored by a man named Lee Robertson. That church used to run over 10,000 Sunday mornings. Over 10,000. That's a lot of people. Today, that church is called Church of the Highlands. They're no longer a Baptist church. Praise the Lord, they took the name Baptist off at least. I'm glad about that. But they're now called Church of the Highlands, and I think they're running about 500. You might think, 500, that's a good-sized church. I think that's a good-sized church. Not when you were running 10,000. Not when you were running 10,000. What'd they do? They wanted to go after the world's way. They've got rock music, all of it now. That's where they're at now. And there's a ton of examples like that I could give you of churches that started messing around with this stuff and where they're at now. The Vineyard churches. Anybody ever heard of those? The Vineyard churches? No? All right, that's all right. Formerly led by John Wimber, they kind of came out of the Calvary Chapel movement right at the start. They've had a vast influence through their contemporary praise music. Wimber wrote many popular contemporary songs, and many of the Vineyard churches are noted for their influential music groups. The Vintage Vineyard Music Series is advertised as Vineyard's all-time worship classics that continue to be sung across cross-denominationally in churches around the world. And they are a charismatic church, and they're sung all over. John Wimber conducted Signs and Wonders conferences. Anybody ever heard of that? Signs and Wonders conference? No? Okay, I'm glad you haven't heard of some of this stuff, though. Honestly, I am. That's good. But he conducted Signs and Wonders conferences in various parts of the world, teaching the error that effective evangelism, get this, requires the working of miracles. Effective evangelism requires the working of miracles. Go to Romans chapter 1, if you would, please. Let me tell you, I don't know. I think God has a different opinion about effective evangelism. But what does He know, right? What does God know? So John Wimber says, effective evangelism requires the working of miracles. Here's what God said, Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." What is? The gospel of Jesus Christ is what saves people. That's the power of God unto salvation. And I mean, I've talked with people about this and argued with them or debated with them over the contemporary Christian music and using rock music to reach people. And they say, well, if it wasn't for that music, then some people wouldn't get saved. I'm like, well, what saves them? The music or the gospel of Jesus Christ? It's the gospel that saves people. It's not music. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. My Bible says that's the power of God unto salvation. Now, either we believe the Bible or we're going to believe our own emotions. You decide. You decide. See, we don't believe this book when it tells us. Go to Jeremiah 17:9. I love this verse. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. Christians believe this applies to everybody but them. This verse right here. This is how you have this gay man right here, Christian rock star, still claiming to be a Christian, even though he's come out as gay, basically leaving his wife. This is how you can have a transgender come out and say that God's all right with me transitioning from either a male to a female or a female to a male and still claim to be a Christian when it's all about my selfish ways. Because we're going based off of emotions and how I feel and what I feel is the most important, and I need happiness in my life. That's how you can have that and think that you're okay. Why? Because Jeremiah 17:9, you looking at it? It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? That's the same way you can have a 16, 17, 18, 19, 20-year-old girl listen to some nonsense that some boy's telling her and end up pregnant because he said he loved me. Why'd you throw that one in there, preacher? Because I thought we needed it. Amen. That's why I threw that one in there. Because our heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We need to get the gospel to them. We're told to go preach the gospel to every creature. We're not told to go play contemporary music to every creature. So hopefully then they'll listen to you. No, we're told to preach the gospel to every creature. And that's the power of God unto salvation. Wimber spread great confusion through his allowance for extra-biblical revelation. What does that mean? I had a vision. You know, someone gets up, starts speaking in tongues. And then somebody else on this side interprets, oh, thus saith the Lord, and they give the interpretation of it. Extra-biblical. I had a dream, I had this vision, and that's why people like Oral Roberts can get up and say, hey, send in your money because, what was it, a 900-foot-tall Jesus said, I have to build this, you know, this healing center. And if I don't do it, God's going to kill me, so send me your money. I think he needed like $100 million or something. Send the money in. God's going to kill me. Extra-biblical visions. John Wimber was all for that. The Promise Keepers movement was founded by men involved in the Vineyard churches. Promise Keepers founder Bill McCarthy is a member of a Vineyard church in Boulder, Colorado. The pastor of that church, James Ryle, teaches that God is still raising up prophets and claims to have received many personal revelations from God through dreams and visions. Well, why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he? I mean, he's connected with this man that has signs and wonders conferences that allows for extra biblical revelation. If you're getting revelation from God, why aren't you writing that down? Why aren't you writing it down, putting it in this book, adding it to it, if it's from God? But they don't do that. Integrity Music Company, Integrity is also known as Hosanna Music, rose out of the charismatic movement. The music, it spreads to 117 countries as charismatic in nature. That's some vast influence right there, spreading music to 117 countries. Integrity recorded an album at the Brownsville Assembly of God in Pensacola, Florida, where a strange charismatic revival broke out in 1995. Don Moen is the creative director for Integrity. In an interview with the Pentecostal Evangel, a magazine published by the Assemblies of God, Moen described the power of the music recorded at Brownsville. Get this, here's what he said. Because something is imparted when you listen to this tape. I don't want it to sound spooky or mysterious, but there's something powerful about embracing the music of the revival. The fire of the revival can stir in you even as you listen to the songs that took place at the Brownsville revival. What it can, the fire of the revival can stir in you. Something's imparted when you listen to this tape. What in the world are we listening to? This is, people are following this stuff. I listen to this tape, something's going to be imparted to me. Does that sound like anything found in the Bible? Does it to you? Can you match that with anything? Like, it sounds like something in the Bible, but something none of us should want. It sounds like devil possession. Something's imparted to you. Yeah, you can get a devil off of this music. This is what they're teaching. The revival to which he refers is not a biblical revival. When you look at biblical revivals, go to Acts. Turn to Acts, please, and give me a second when I find it here. Acts 19. And there's a bunch of examples like this you could find even in the Old Testament. You look at the story of Gideon. Okay, Gideon did the same thing right here we're about to read about. Okay, that's revival. What Gideon did when he destroyed the places of idolatry that his father was a high priest of or was the priest of. That's revival right there. Not this, and I'll read you the description of what their revival was. Acts chapter 19, we want. Verse 13. Acts 19:13. You there? Say amen. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know." Get that should. And right there, "Jesus I know, Paul I know." Paul's out preaching. This devil said, "I know Paul." Watch out. We're out there standing up for God. The devils know your name. The devils know your name. We better be close to God. "Paul I know, but who are ye?" And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Get this right here, we're talking about revival, okay? "Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." That's a biblical revival right there. Getting rid of the witchcraft. Getting rid of the sin. Destroying it. Burning it. Burning it. Make it ineffective so no one else can use it. That's a biblical revival right there. But Don Moen's revival at the Brownsville Assembly is a revival in which people become drunk and stagger about and fall down and are unable to perform the most basic functions of life. The pastor at Brownsville during the alleged revival, John Kilpatrick, has testified that it has taken him a half hour just to put on his socks. And when he was drunk with the Brownsville revival spirit, he has lain on the church platform for as long as 4 hours, unable to get up and unable to exercise his responsibilities as a pastor. His wife has been unable to cook their food or clean the house. Maybe some wives might want that revival spirit, huh? I don't have to cook or clean? Maybe not, I don't know. Whatever this revival is, it's not something that's Bible-based. You don't see any of that in the Bible. None of that. Now, you might look at, I don't know if you've ever seen any of this stuff or witnessed any of it, and some of it, it just looks like just a complete fraud. All of it looks like a complete fraud to me. And I think some of it is people just, they're just acting it out and they're not really doing anything. It's nothing working in them. They're just, you know, just playing it out and doing it. But others, I most definitely believe, are possessed of some unclean spirit. Some evil spirit. I don't know, maybe this pastor, as it says, he laid there for 4 hours, unable to get up and unable to exercise his responsibility as a pastor. Sounds like he very well could be possessed of a devil. 2 Peter 2 again, please. Second Peter 2, when you find your spot there, go to Hebrews 4. Second Peter 2, save your spot there, go to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, verse 12. "For the word of God is quick." It's an important word right there. "The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." It says the word of God is quick. Who knows what that means? What does that mean? It means it's fast. Is that what it means? That's what we think. It means alive. The Word of God is quick. It means to make alive. It has life. It's a living book. This book is alive. It speaks on things today more accurate than the newspaper that came out today. Because it's alive. It's a living book.
It's nourishment.
Amen. It's nourishment. It's life. That's right. 2 Peter 2:2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Didn't we just read about these damnable heresies in this so-called Brownsville revival? Isn't that what we just read? And that's what the Bible said was going to happen. So they're going to come in among you. Even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Are they not speaking evil of the way of truth by their so-called Holy Spirit drunkenness? Because that's what it is. That's what they're acting like. Moen testifies, though, Don Moen testifies that this spirit can be imparted through the music. They recognize that music can impart a spirit. That should speak to us, each of us, that music can impart a spirit. Another example of the charismatic influence that permeates CCM is Hills Christian Life Center in Sydney, Australia, where the worship leader is Darlene Check. And I will promise you almost everyone in here has heard music by her. The music produced by Check and this church has gone throughout the world and is used in practically every denomination. This church practices personal prophecies, tongues, and other charismatic phenomena. The song, I Believe the Promise, teaches the unscriptural latter rain theology. It's from the album Shout to the Lord. Anybody ever heard that? Shout to the Lord? Okay, this is this lady here. Here's the lyrics to this song, I Believe the Promise. I believe the promise about the visions and the dreams, that the Holy Spirit will be poured out and His power will be seen. Well, the time is now, the place is here, and His people have come in faith. There's a mighty sound and a touch of fire when we've gathered in one place. The promise about the visions and the dreams, this latter rain theology. What are they talking about? What does that statement mean, latter rain theology? They talk about the Bible says the early and the latter rain, and they're all believing that there's going to be this latter rain outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and many of them believe that that's happening right now. I mean, part of what you had going on, I forget the man's name down there in Florida. I mean, he's got tattoos all over him. I mean, just a vulgar guy. I can't remember his name, but part of this so-called outpouring of the Spirit, he kicked this lady in the face because the Spirit told him to. And I forget the man's name. I can get it for you if you want. I just can't think of it right now. But this is that latter rain that they're talking about, so-called outpouring of the Holy Spirit right now. When the Bible says that these sign gifts are going to cease, they're going to cease. The revelation, we have it, it's done. It's been given to us right here. Everything we need is right here in this book. And so much of the doctrine that the charismatic movement teaches isn't found in the Bible. It's not Bible-based. It'll be twisting of Scripture, but it's not Bible-based. So they'll take a statement like the early and the latter rain. They're going to say, look, this is what we've got right here. And this is what this lady's teaching through her songs. And so many people, it's influencing millions. Millions of people. And we're bringing it in our churches. CCM is one of the major causes of so much doctrinal confusion. Laodicean Christians don't want to recognize that they're being influenced doctrinally by this music. Does anybody know what I mean when I say Laodicean Christians? You know, no, let's go to Revelation 3, please. Revelation 3:14. I think this is a good description of Christianity today, Christendom today, at least here in America and around a lot of parts of the world. But these are the letters written to the seven churches. John wrote to them from the Lord Jesus Christ, told him, write these letters to these churches. Verse 14, it says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. God saying, you as a church, you make me sick. I want to throw you up. That's what he's telling them. Verse 17, so why do you make me sick? Why are you lukewarm? Verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Isn't that us today? I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. That's most of Christendom today. I've got all I need. I'm rich, I'm increased with goods, I don't need anything. But here's what God says. Here's God's assessment of them. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. See, they had material wealth, and Jesus said, you guys are poor. You're wretched. You're blind. You're naked. You're not even clothed. That was his description of them. So this Laodicean Christians, these Christians that think, I've got everything, I don't really need what God has, I don't need to follow what God says, and he ends up telling them, you better repent. But Laodicean Christians don't want to recognize that they're being influenced doctrinally by this music, because they don't think they need anything. They don't think they have any problems, and they think they're just fine in the churches that they're in. And this doctrine that's being pushed through CCM is false doctrine. Ephesians 5, 14 and 15, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee life, shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Arise, wake up, open your eyes, pay attention to what's going on. That word walk circumspectly, it means looking on all sides, paying attention to what's happening, not as fools, but as wise. So are you going to follow after music that will indoctrinate you into the end time one world church, one world religion? Because make no doubt about it, that's what this music is. It's bringing it all together. What we talked about on Wednesdays in Revelation chapter 17, that woman that rides the beast, that's what this music is going towards. And we're not going to stop it, but God's answer to us is found in Revelation 18. Go ahead and turn there. Revelation 18:4. It's talking about this Babylon the Great, says in verse 2, has fallen. That's who it's talking about. Verse 3 says, all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And now chapter 18, verse 4, and what does it say? And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. God says, come out of her. Come out from that. Don't partake in it. And this music is partaking in it. It's leading towards that. It's pushing people towards that. It's indoctrinating them towards it. You know, a preacher doesn't have to be behind a pulpit for you to get a message preached to you. Music can do it. Music can preach a message to you. And you listen to music over and 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 over, and it'll implant it in your head. And you'll start to think like that. Evil communications corrupt good manners. So you're going to listen to this doctrinally false music, which weakens the fundamentalist stance of a Bible-believing church, which we're going to look at next week, and it's going to push you into this wishy-washy one-world church movement. I promise you, it's happening. Just keep your eyes peeled, and I'll bring stuff up. I mean, I talk about it. I'll mention things here and there because I'm constantly like looking into this stuff. But this is what's happening. This is what's going on. This is where it's leading. So you have to decide. What are you going to do with the music you listen to? CCM is permeated with false ecumenical doctrine, and the Bible commands us to separate from apostasy. So who's your master? The Lord Jesus Christ or CCM? And I say that because music is a stronghold in people's lives. It absolutely is. It is a stronghold. It is an idol in this country. So much so that we named a show after it, American Idol, after music. American Idol. Don't tell me it's not a stronghold. I know it is because I've fought with people over it. And I know it's a stronghold. So who is your Lord? Is it CCM or is it the Lord Jesus Christ?